listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. As I've said many times, guys, at the beginning of the show, we are viewer-supported stations. So if you can throw a few dollars into the kitty, I know the operators of the stations would much appreciate any help that you can offer. And always, I like to start the show by thanking my producer for putting up with me every week, Steve Rogers. Robert's a great guy, and thanks for what you do, Steve. I'm joined today by, I'll call him the Duracell Bunny and Wiley the Coyote. Okay? Actually, their names are Roger Landry and Doug Forrest, but... It's a pleasure having these two gentlemen in with me, and as I was saying off air, gentlemen, I really don't expect to get a lot of time to talk in this first hour because Roger's got some really incredible stuff that he wants to share with us, and I know Doug's got some stuff to add to that. So welcome to the show, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to have you people on my show.
Excellent. Great to be here.
And thank you for having me. But before we get started, I just want to say one thing to your American listeners out there today. Donald Trump is your president. And by the way, on November the 5th, he will also be your president yet again.
Doug, you just broke some hearts, buddy.
Well, he might have broken some hearts, but he spoke the absolute truth. And it doesn't matter what the hell you're hearing from mainstream media. If you do any real polling right now, the real polling is showing that anywhere from 39% to 45% of the black vote in this country will go to Trump. That right there says he's going to win. End of story. The Democrats count as one of their largest voting blocks every single time, the black vote. We're looking at 35% Hispanic. We're looking at 36% Asian. We're looking at no. Everything that he just said is absolutely right. It is. Now, with that being said, Doug, let me get into a couple of things. I'm hoping you can throw something in on this, and even you, Barry, and maybe even Steve in the background. I have been on this show many times, and one of the things I have discussed over and over again is that the death toll for the coronavirus being heralded in North America, and I'm talking about Canada and the United States, but I'm going to focus down more onto the United States because, believe it or not, and I know most of you will, so that was a joke, the actual bullcrap is probably the most intense right there. What do I mean? If you talk to some people, they will tell you that the death toll in the United States from the coronavirus or COVID-19, because coronavirus is a class of virus, it's not a virus. So, from COVID-19 exceeds 200,000. Others will tell you it's about 160 to 170,000. And the constant realization here is that it's always going to be, no matter who you talk to, well above 150,000. And this was the reason why everything was shut down. Initially, the model that Fauci and all of his cohorts used stated that as many as 2.2 million Americans were going to die. All right. We have talked over and over again, Barry, on one of your shows I talked about people actually going into these hospitals where they're supposed to be so overdriven with people, it's insane, they can't keep up. They walked into these hospitals, into the emergency room, there's five or six people there, nobody's rushing to do anything at all. And when they go to the overflow tents outside that the world can see and go into them, the first thing they realize is nobody's ever been in this tent and it's never been used. So again, a lie. We also know that if a normal death, and obviously there's no such thing as a normal death, I'm using that as an identifier, a normal death reporting process, a hospital on an average may receive $13,000 for a normal death. All right, if that person has been reported to have died with COVID-19, then that goes up to right about $20,000. But if that person died with COVID-19 on a ventilator, that goes up to $39,000 in reimbursement. So we established two things. Let's establish the third thing, the test itself. The test itself is so inaccurate, so problematic, we've been hearing nothing but that the test is inaccurate and the test is problematic. Not only that, but in some cases, the test itself, and the UK returned a whole lot of these after they found out, the test itself was, guess what? It was contaminated with, COVID-19. So if you stop to consider the test is not reliable, that hospitals and other organizations are getting paid a premium to say somebody died of COVID-19, and if you take the fact that COVID-19 is an identifier, it's not a virus. It is a coronavirus, and it has its own specific name, SARS-2. But they call it COVID-19. Now, let me explain what the CDC did while nobody was looking. This just happened recently. The CDC went and changed their numbers. On the CDC site, and you can find the link to this information in the article I just published on the Liberty Beacon today, the CDC admits the fact that only 9,200 people have died in the United States as a direct result of COVID-19. All of the other tens of thousands and over 100,000 were deaths of heart attacks, deaths of respiratory illnesses that existed long before this year, deaths of what we are seeing is that 150,000 to 200,000 didn't represent people who died of. It represented people who died with. And anybody in this country, okay, had a real good, padding the pockets, whatever you want to call it, or a real good reason to make some major lies. But when the CDC steps up to say in every recorded case, other than 9,200 of them, 9,200, every other case had major existing diseases or maladies that person could just as easily have died of and probably would have died from that long before they did COVID-19. So what we have seen is a scam beyond belief. It has not been what did you die from, it's what did you die with. And from that, we shut down the entire economy of the United States, the most robust, biggest, and most profitable historical freaking economy on the planet was shut down for 9,200 deaths. Let me tell you why I'm so angry about that. Last year, the CDC admitted 80,000 people died from the flu in this country. 80,000. That's almost nine times the amount that actually died from a coronavirus, a flu. This was the weakest, wimpiest freaking flu season we've had in a generation. But we destroyed economies across the planet.
Can I interject just for a minute here?
Absolutely.
This is going to make you even more angry than you already are.
Oh, I doubt
this,
that.
No, this, comes off, this comes off the CDC website. It's called Performance Characteristics,
yep.
Analytical Performance.
I already know. Go ahead.
Quote, since no quantified virus isolates of the 2019 and COVID are currently available. Quote, there is no virus.
I started this all off, so many shows off, by saying everybody out there is beating the drum to a killer virus pandemic. And I've said this, and I will say this again to anybody in the audience as a direct challenge. Show me any proof that any virus exists. I mean proof, irrefutable proof, and I will kiss your bare bottom on Broadway at high noon and let you sell tickets to the event. Okay? When Louis Pasteur died on his deathbed, he said, you know what? I was wrong. It's the terrain, not the germ. He admitted that the germs, what germs, were responsible for any of this. He admitted that on his deathbed. Why didn't he do it before then? Because there were too many people who would have killed him and he would have lost his livelihood. But that's what he said on his deathbed.
Got one question for you, Roger.
You're absolutely right, Doug, and that's the perfect thing to bring up.
Roger, how do we get you on CBC, CNN, MSNBC, and let you talk about that for about 15 minutes? How do we get this information out to the American people, undeniable information out to the American people? Because this would be a game changer in everybody's mind that's still scared of this.
Share the article at the bottom of that article. The article I wrote, okay, because this is additional news break at the bottom of it. But the article that I wrote was about vaccines and how much damage they've done. Now, give me a very short 2-minute segment. Let me explain to you why it's absolutely germane to what we're talking about. I was born in the early 1950s, 1954. When I was born, there were hardly any vaccines. Okay, you might have gotten, I don't know, you might have gotten something for polio or something like that. There were very, very few, all right? And the even incidences of what we describe as autism today were occurring at incidences of in excess of 20,000. Some doctors were saying in excess of 30,000. Today, autism in the United States and Canada is about, it averages one out of every 40 children. This makes the coronavirus, even with the lied numbers, seem wimpy in comparison. And these are people who will live 30, 40, 50 years and have to be cared for. Now, if you take, a chart showing the rise of autism in this country, take a chart, and they do have them online, and then look for a chart showing the increase in vaccinations for every generation since the middle 1950s. And what you will see is that these curves are almost identical. And now we're looking at the possibility of vaccine damage occurring tens of millions of times every year just in the United States. Imagine globally. My article basically says, with all of this going on and all of this being provable, why the hell would you trust a COVID-19 vaccine that, one, didn't go through animal trials, and two, is already failing in its human trials? But they're going to fast track it and pump you full of it. Well, and then at the bottom, that's where I put the links to that. And believe me, if people want to share that out, what they're going to be giving people is two things. One, the mechanism to totally control humanity, the finish of the loop, is that vaccine. It will have a marker in it, guaranteed. Gates has already so much as admitted that. We already know that 5G will exacerbate a lot of minor illnesses. We already know that 5G is a pulsed beam. It's not an expanding wave. We already know that it requires millions of antennas, not thousands of antennas. We already know, I do, because it's what I did for a living, that with that many antennas, you can focus. You can have a focused beam using a phased array. Now, if you've got a locator, And you have the ability to focus a 5G, which is a microwave beam, a pulsed beam, onto an individual because they have a locator. You can easily do this with all of these antennas. Now, anybody out there who's not believing me, I always offer proof. And I'm going to give you proof right now. I want you to go to the internet, and I want you to, and Barry, you've heard me say this on one of your other shows. What I'd like you to do is I would like you to pull up a map showing the heaviest COVID-19 deaths across the planet, the cities with the heaviest COVID-19 deaths. Then I want you to pull up a map showing the build-out completed or almost completed of 5G across the planet. Now, you ready for a real shock? Superimpose them, one on top of the other, and if your jaw doesn't drop, but you're not supposed to know that.
Well, and by the way, I'm going to interject a little bit more here, if you don't mind.
No, absolutely.
Well, no, because I'm going to add to what you're saying. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to go onto YouTube and type in CRISPR. CRISPR.
Yep.
Absolutely. And CRISPR was developed about 5 or 6 years ago. They've been developing it to work within a vaccine. The vaccine that they're looking to inject into you is called an mRNA vaccine. The M means messenger. And what it does, it's a CRISPR vaccine. It goes in to your body and then edits your DNA genome. They are going to change your genome. Why? Well, it's illegal to enslave men and women, period. But it's not illegal to copyright or patent the new DNA that you're going to be made of.
A hybrid.
Hence, enslave you.
A hybrid.
Because you become a hybrid. You're no longer considered a human being or a man or a woman. You are now a patented hybrid. You are now owned. You're a slave.
It goes even deeper than that because, again, Doug, you can
speak
up anytime. You're bringing up sterling points. I want to take what you just said even further. What we're looking at is modifying the DNA of humanity. This is basically the blueprint. How wide are your fingernails? How long do your eyelashes get? What color of your eyes? What color is your hair? How fat are you going to be over life? All of this is programmed into your DNA. Now, what we've got is a bunch of people out there figuring that they're smarter than God, or they're smarter than 10 billion years of evolution. And again, of course, I'm being a little over-descriptive here, but I'm making a point, all right? Let's take a look at this. What is evolution? It's over a period of billion or billions of years, minute changes happened. And when they did, they were tested right out there in the woods where that animal was or whatever. It either worked or it didn't. And if it didn't, it didn't continue. And then all of these changes over a billion years made us what we are today. There are others who believe in God. God said this is the way it should be, and that's the way it is. I don't care which one you believe in. What I'm about to tell you is that when mankind believes that they can rewrite our genetic structure and know what the ramifications are 10 generations down the road, they can't. They can't even tell you what the true ramifications of changing our DNA is 2 generations down the road until they actually do it. And if you're using a small sample group of 10 or 15 or 20 people, that's no good. There's 7.5 billion of us. How much difference do you think there is between us? So what we're talking about is mankind, a portion of mankind, being so arrogant as to believe that they can go in and rewrite our code with with nothing that's going to be bad. Where humanity isn't all of a sudden going to stop producing children 100 years from now, or where we have no clue not only what this particular change will have over time, but you must also remember These DNA changes will in themselves cause DNA changes, especially if the changes that mankind made conflict in any fashion to the existing code. What does it do? It tries to protect itself. We are looking at the most arrogant people ever to have lived on this planet. They are telling us they can rewrite our code and all will be good.
Psychopath. Steve wants to say one thing here, Roger, so I got to interrupt you.
I wasn't looking at the screen, so go ahead, Steve.
Yes, Roger, Barry, Doug. I equate this, what you just mentioned a minute ago. In the 1950s, there were dozens, if not hundreds, of scientists that theorized if they set off a nuclear explosion in the upper atmosphere, it would blow up the entire Earth. But the main scientists that were in charge said, yes, we do understand it, and we do know what you're talking about, but we still have to do it to find out what's going to happen. We have to know.
Oops.
We're looking today. You know, anybody who says you don't live in exciting times, it just depends on how you define the word exciting. I can't for my life imagine a more exciting time to be alive. I would tell you, I would in a heartbeat give almost anything to be on the other side of it, but far enough back that I never hear of it. No, I'm not enjoying myself. Why am I here? The same reason Doug's here, the same reason that Barry's here, the same reason that Steve's here. Somebody's got to say this, or humanity doesn't stand a chance. The things we're talking about right here, right now, are end of humanity things. They're messing with the genome. If they make one small mistake or one small oops that they didn't see, it could totally change humanity to the point where we can't exist. A couple of generations down the road, you don't mess with the DNA. But they are.
Yes.
They are.
You know, Roger, you know, for a normal person to hear this kind of a conversation that hasn't gone down, you know, that hasn't gone down the rabbit holes a little bit, like, really don't understand even the background of what we're talking about right now. We would sound like lunatics right now talking, but we're not.
We do.
But what we're dealing with, Roger, is psychopaths from hell. That's what we're dealing with. And that's what I call them, okay? You can call them whatever you want. These people are evil. What they're doing right now, what they're messing with, is beyond anything that I can even imagine. My mind has a hard time wrapping itself around what these people are doing and what the end game is. What is the end game?
And, the end game is...
We can stop this right now.
They have stated, and all you have to do is put this in any search engine, you will see it, is 80% reduction of population by the year 2025.
Eugenics, exactly.
That's it. And this was the way to open the door, right here, right now. And the vaccine will accomplish. Now, if anybody thinks that when we say eliminate 80% of the population within the next 5 years, we're not talking about people standing out in the street with machine guns mowing citizens down. No. We're talking about you getting a vaccine. And we're not talking about a vaccine that's going to make you die within the first 24 to 36 hours. That would be kind of stupid. They would start giving it in one part of the planet. Everybody would be dying from it within 48 hours. The people on the other side of the planet are going to say, hey, no way. But, what if this is programmed? If they can mess with your DNA, they can program the reaction of a vaccine within the body. Okay, what if this is programmed 2 years down the road? What if it's programmed 3 years down the road to all of a sudden do things to you? And again, not necessarily kill you, but make it so you can't have any babies? And I could go on and on. Go ahead, please.
Roger, I just want to come back to your 5G. Yeah. Now, when they change the DNA in your body, okay, with these mRNA vaccines, they're also going to put in nano chips within there. Now, these nano chips can be activated at any time through the 5G network. Once your DNA is changed, they can activate those nano chips, those nano bots, for lack of a better term, to then trigger your death. So you're right. They don't have to put a timer on this stuff. They just have to inject it in you, and then they go, oh, okay, what's a year from now? Push the button. All these people with this sort of DNA that we've already changed, we're activating those nanos through our 5G network, and they're going to wipe them out. And they'll all get sick all at the same time. They're going to overwhelm the health and medical facilities, and they're all going to be dropping dead. Another pandemic for another vaccine. And it will go on and on and on. And it's that simple. Once you've got your network set up, once you've got your nanochips injected, and these people, we know who these people are going to be. These are the people that are yelling and screaming at people for not wearing a face mask in 95-degree weather on the street. Okay?
Face masks are so freaking stupid. It's insane.
We call them here in Canada, we call them the walking dead. They're actually the useful idiots will become the useless eaters very shortly. But we call them the walking dead because they're the ones that are going to push their way to the front of the line and get the vaccine. And they want it. Oh, I got to save myself. I'm going to take the vaccine. And great, I will give you my shot. Take all five shots, you know. It's absolutely.
Look, if you stop to consider, again, you make brilliant points, Doug. If you stop to consider, it doesn't even have to be that technical. Let's suppose that something happens to those chips in your body. Okay? And again, most people must realize, and yes, I do have a technical background, that something that small, a red blood cell hitting it would be like a Mack truck hitting it. Okay, so again, let's say something does happen to it. The one that will be injected into your body that needs to survive is simply the one that is your particular track. It's your tracking number, okay? And believe it or not, they will all come out of the same bottle, all right? They will. All of these, but the actual tag, the actual ID, won't be known until that thing gets into your body and melds with your body. At that point, you will be trackable. That's the only thing they need. They don't need anything in your body to kill your body. And why do I say that? And be just as effective. Because if you look up in the sky, and yes, Barry, I'm going there again. If you look up in the sky every single day down there, what you see is massive spraying. We were told, I know, because we did the research too at the Liberty Beacon Project, that that was metric tons of nano-sized particles of aluminum sprayed into the upper atmosphere to reflect sunlight and mitigate global warming. Except that we know for a fact that that was a huge lie. Global warming doesn't exist. Yet we have been rained down on with aluminum particles for over a generation globally. Let me explain why. Several people that have died with advanced cases of Alzheimer's, they have done cross-sections on their brain, and what they found was an inordinately large amount of aluminum in their brain. Aluminum is absolutely toxic to the brain. It destroys the synapses between the cells so that the brain can't work at all. Gee, dementia? Alzheimer's, anybody? But anyway, let's just continue on. Everybody on the planet consumes aluminum every single day by breathing.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I find this absolutely amazing. So basically,
I haven't even told you the punchline yet.
So basically, Joe Biden has been sitting in his basement, and they've been pumping aluminum gas in there for him. And this is what's causing Joe to have dementia.
Well, it could be, but let me get through this because it doesn't get prettier, okay? We are all breathing, and if anybody says no we're not, then you tell me why Monsanto went out and applied for and got patents to grow, to make seeds that will grow. And GMOs, genetically modified organisms, seeds that will grow in aluminum-saturated soil. That doesn't exist naturally. The oxide that aluminum comes from exists naturally, but that's not aluminum. Aluminum-saturated soil is soil that's saturated with post-production aluminum. Okay? Monsanto literally has patents to grow seeds in this. Why? So let me explain what that aluminum is there for. And why 5G continues to get built out, even using the military, while most people are under lockdown because they know they would probably push back against it. Hell, in Scandinavia, they've got people bringing their guns out and shooting them off the side of buildings. But what does all this boil down to? This is what it all boils down to, okay? I You need to understand 5G is a pulsed beam. It's not an expanding wave. It's much easier to control. As I told you before, all of those antennas can be used to form a phased array from which you can provide a steerable beam. That chip in my body tells them where I am. 5G, again, can be steered in a beam. And once it hits your head, your brain is full of what? It's full of aluminum. Have you ever put a knife or a fork, whether it's aluminum, steel, I don't give a damn, in a microwave and shut the door and turned it on? What's going to happen is with that locator, they can locate you, or this ought to scare you even more, with your cell phone, they can locate you. They can point a beam to your body, specifically your head, okay? And after about 30 seconds to a minute, it will raise the brain to a temperature the brain can't survive at, and the brain literally shuts down. This is an absolute fact. Then they shut the beam off, and within a minute and a half to 2 minutes at the most, there is absolutely no proof of anything, anything at all, that stepped in to kill this individual. It looks that he just dropped. Oh, my God, another COVID-19 death. What I'm telling you right now, the technology is there. You're breathing the aluminum. That's an absolute fact. Don't even try and push back against it. You're an idiot if you do. You look up in your sky, you see the streaks. All of a sudden, they all blend together, and you've got a putrid gray sky. That's aluminum. You're breathing it. I'll guarantee it. It's not a joke. 5G is being built out whether you like it or not, and your cell phone is a locator. The vaccine will make it a much easier scenario, but if push comes to shove right now, they could actually take you out if you're carrying your cell phone. None of this is a joke. I worked for the military-industrial complex for 20 years. I'm not an idiot. Nothing I told you is not only not impossible, everything I told you already exists today.
Well, and also, Roger, with this mRNA vaccine, what they can actually do is they could change your genome to accept the nanotechnology that they will inject into you. So that you're actually, your body accepts it as part of your body. And that's one way to get it in there so that it just gets accepted. With this cell phone technology and social distancing, the other thing with social distancing was for facial recognition, as well you know. But the cell phone, they're now putting tracking software on there for COVID-19. Yep. I have a brand new cell phone I just went out and got from 2000. I got my time machine and went back to 2006 and bought a Motorola Razr flip phone. Yep. And my carrier called Fido here in Canada has texted me five times that they've tried five times unsuccessfully to put the new tracking software on my not so smart phone.
All I can say is beam me up, Scotty, because I've had enough of this. I can't. My little brain really, Roger. You know what scares me the most, gentlemen? We've said this many times, Roger, on our shows, that the technology that it's exhibiting to us right now, well, that's maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe as much as 20 years behind of what they actually exist. And if we could project ourselves 20 years down the road and look at some of the toys they have that they're about to unleash on the human race, that really kind of puts a scary thought in my head. It's not what they have already that's scaring the crap out of me, because it is. It's what they have that we don't know about, Roger, and I know you could add to that.
I remember LCD screens long before anybody even knew they existed. Cell phones were being used by the military and the military-industrial complex long before, we used to call them suitcase phones, long before they were even close to being affordable for, you know, the everyday person. And I could go on and on. Flat-screen TVs, you know, we were using all of these things and other things. This is the rule of thumb for JQ Citizen to end up with the technology that started out in the hands of people like me who worked for Raytheon or the DOD or whatever, okay? If you stop to consider all of this technology, all of it, all right, I would tell you that there is still technology that I have seen that has not come out, and I haven't worked for them in 23 years. So what I know is that we can be anywhere from a decade at a minimum to a generation or more where the technology, and this is their criteria, okay? We keep it exclusive until something makes it, this is second best now. It's not so good anymore. It's not that it's obsolete. It's just that there's something better now. At that point, they take the what's better, and they deploy that, and they take this, and that's what goes to all of their buddies in the military-industrial complex, who eventually filter this out to, like, people who own, I don't know, Apple, Microsoft, whatever. So once the only criteria they have is, if this can be beat by something else, then this goes public. If it can't be beat by anything else, then it doesn't go public. And like I said, I know of things that I still haven't seen out here in almost 25 years.
Wow. Well, you remember a little company up here in Canada? They were called Nortel. They decided that they were doing a lot of fiber optic cable stuff for fiber optic networks. They were actually the leader in the world in fiber optic network stuff going on. And they were here locally here in Ontario, as a matter of fact, was their head offices and their R&D lab. They had a big R&D lab here in Canada and one in Israel. And then they went on to make the BlackBerry cell phone. That was a spin-off. They wanted to start generating income. Now, the BlackBerry cell phone was a very interesting cell phone, as you know, Roger. It was very difficult to hack a BlackBerry. As a matter of fact, when Barack Obama and his administration took the White House in 2008, they all had BlackBerries, and what you would call the military-industrial complex or the deep state came to the administration and required them to turn all their BlackBerries in and to be issued new cell phones. And to a person under that administration declined to take away their BlackBerries. They wanted to keep them all, and so they did. And for the 8 years that Barack Obama was in power, those cell phones, they continued to have those cell phones because they couldn't track them. They couldn't hack them. And I thought it was absolutely hilarious. Now, the funny thing was with Nortel, they actually bankrupted Nortel because of this, because Nortel refused to bend the knee to that, to allow them access to that software. But what happened was, so they bankrupted them, and Nortel was split in half. Half of the Nortel was sold off at auction. All of the patents on the cell phone side were sold off at auction. All of the fiber optic cable patents that they had and all of that technology was locked up in Israel, and that's where it is today. That is amazing software, or amazing firmware, I should say, because it actually works with the fiber optic cable system and makes things go at light speed. That is owned by your military industrial complex, and that is what they've been using to deploy out, which is why companies like Sun Microsystems, et cetera, in the U.S. hadn't had that technology to update their servers to handle the fiber optic cable systems. Now it's slowly being leaked out over the last 10 years or so. Those companies have been getting some of that technology because they want that technology out there so they can use it on a much grander scale.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is why I wish you would just chime in more. But you see, you open things up in my brain that I have to talk about, all right? When you talk about technology, okay, let's talk about technology. Let's talk about who controls a majority of the technology. Let's talk about how we can see that. I'm going to tell you that the move to literally bring the entire global population under control and to reduce it to what they consider to be a manageable amount of people began in the late 1700s. Anybody who thinks it started last year or 20 years ago or even 30 years ago is an absolute idiot. They haven't done any research, done any homework whatsoever. So we're talking about something that's, you know, close to 220, 250 years old, this push. And some would say it's even 300 years old. So if they have been doing this long, why is it that it just seems to be coming to a head now? For exactly the reasons you've mentioned and I've been talking about since this show started, the technology. Technology has allowed things to move forward at such a pace that their plans can be sped up not by, months, not by years, not by decades. We're talking about by generations. When this entire scam fired up, most of us were told, who had some people who knew what was going on, that this was going to last for a few months. Once they gathered their metrics, it was going to go away. And then they would put all of their plans together, and when it came back, they would know exactly who would and who wouldn't and why. Except we ran into our houses with our tails between our legs so easily, and we hid so easily, and we were fearful until they told us, well, you can come out if you wear a mask. In other words, put your leash on. Then you can come out. And we did. Trump even stepped on the pulpit and told the entire United States that we're going to be shutting this down in a couple of days. And then 2 days later, he came back and told the whole United States, maybe I was a little quick on that. No, we're actually not. Why did he say that? The same reason Putin had to go back on his words. The same reason the UK had to go back on their words. Because these elites who control this basically said, take a look, we have everything we want. Why should we shut this down? It all has to do with technology. Yep. The technology is what is allowing this, but you need to understand, Doug, your perfect point wasn't the fact that, yes, this is all tied to technology. It's this fact. Technology is a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. What works for them works for us. I would tell you 100 years ago, we didn't have the ability to bring in 50 people from across the entire planet to have a discussion and come up with answers we could never have come up with in under 50 years, 100 years ago. We can't even imagine what it would be like to try and fight these individuals if we had the level of technology we had 100 years ago. It would be physically impossible. Their technology would be so far beyond ours. Right now, the only thing I believe that's forestalling what could actually be happening to humanity right now is the fact that we do have this technology as well. We have websites across the planet. We can talk to people at the drop of a hat. We can verify, okay? We can vilify. We can do all the pies. We wish to do as well as they can. And absolutely, this is the stickler for them right now. Their next move, listen to me, everybody. I don't say these things. I don't say them, loosely. The next big push is going to be to condemn people like us to the point where they can start shutting the internet down to only what they wish you to see. When that happens, most of this is going to go on to the dark web or other places. And it could even happen that someone would knock on my door and come in and rip my computer, my computer's off the desk, whatever, and walk away and say, we're not going to have this anymore. No, I'm not joking. I'm absolutely not.
No, you're 100% correct. As a matter of fact, a number of years ago, there were lists created. And it was actually videotaped out in the countryside. There were red dot, yellow dot, or a blue dot, and they were putting them on mailboxes. The red dot was for immediate execution. The blue dot was to leave you alone, and the yellow dot was to take you into an internment camp. And these guys were out there videotaping these these things that were happening in the United States, across the United States. There was a big thing going on with FEMA camps back then, and they were building these FEMA camps. And then this came out, and I was like, I was absolutely amazed. I mean, this was, it wasn't just one group of guys going out and videotaping. It was done across various states with different groups of people going out and looking at their own mailboxes to see if there was a blue, a red dot, or a yellow dot on them. And I'm like, holy moly, they've got lists already. And I don't know whether we are a red dot or a yellow dot, but you're definitely not a blue dot, and neither am I.
If you stop to consider, yeah, you're a red dot. I know you are. If you stop to consider, okay, the fact that the FEMA camps were actually built, that's not a joke, all right? They were built by a different power structure, though. That's what everybody thinks. They were built by the Obama power structure, and Obama was nothing but a puppet, okay? And as far as I'm concerned, he was the biggest puppet I've ever known, and I've been through 16 presidential election cycles. But anyway, all right, so let's imagine that that's it, okay? Where does that leave us? Tell me, where does that leave us if, in fact, all of this is true?
Well, not in a good place.
I have another request, gentlemen, for Steve to add a comment.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, Roger, what you just mentioned a minute ago, when the military, it doesn't matter which branch it is, when they perform exercises, they have red team, blue team. And it doesn't really matter which team are the bad guys and which team is the good guys. They switch it up, you know, like we did in basketball. We had the shirts and the skins.
Yep.
But they have red transponders and blue transponders, and when they shoot their laser pistols or their laser M16s or whatever the case happens to be, they shoot them at the red transponders or the blue transponders.
Look, the situation that exists today is there are far too many scary stories, and there are far too many scary stories that are based in reality. Had you, Steve, said what you said, had Barry, any of us said what we said even 20 years ago, we would have been called, I don't know, crazy. We would have been called major conspiracy theorists. We would have been looked at just like the heavy-duty science fiction authors.
How about 6 months ago?
No. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm talking about that far back. Okay, as we got closer to the 21st century, people started to stand up and go, what's really going on here? Then we saw 9/11. 9/11, believe it or not, for most of you out there who believe that it went by, nobody even thinks about it anymore, I'm going to tell you 9/11 did more to open the eyes of conspiracy theorists and force them to build the reputation of being conspiracy factualists.
Absolutely.
I am a conspiracy factualist. Doug's a conspiracy factualist.
Absolutely.
Steve's a conspiracy factualist. Everything we are involved in is a freaking conspiracy, but it's long since passed.
I got my tinfoil hat on.
Yeah. So, again, if we look at everything that's happening today and we realize that the threat to humanity is a thousand times worse than it was even 100 years ago, stop and think about something. Why hasn't the population been culled yet? Why hasn't a majority of the population had to move out of areas that are no longer inhabitable? Why haven't? I can keep going on and on. Mm-hmm. What they are finding out is that, as I stated a little bit ago, technology is a double-edged sword. There's a whole lot of smart people out there in us minions, whereas the elite thinks that they have a sole ownership on all intelligence. It's not working out for them. We're still alive. They haven't won yet. They're not going to win next week. They're not going to win next month. They're not going to win next year. And if I'm still alive 100 years from now, they won't have won.
Well, quick funny. I had a friend of mine who worked for military intelligence in the United States, and he used to say, yeah, it's not what we are, it's what we're seeking.
What I used to do is I used to get on a plane. We would get a call, and I worked strictly DOD contracts, but I was a Raytheon employee. I would get on a plane. I would fly to a forward site. I would assess the damage or whatever was wrong. And I would call back, have a team put together, have equipment shipped out, so on and so forth, and we would fix whatever was supposed to go bang and wasn't going bang, or whatever was supposed to support what was going bang, and, you know, whether it was radar, ECM, again, we're talking technology. So the fact that, you know, you get 1.5 million air miles and you fly all over the world for 80% of every year for 20 years, and then all of a sudden one morning you wake up because a friend came over your house the night before. And he sat down and he looked at you and he said, for somebody who's as smart as you are, you're awful ignorant. I'm smart enough to know that ignorance doesn't mean stupidity. Ignorance means lack of knowledge. Stupid means, even if I gave you the knowledge, you couldn't do anything with it. So I looked at him and I said, okay, you're telling me I'm ignorant. I'm ignorant of what? He opened my laptop up, which at that time was basically it was a small suitcase. He opened my laptop up and he started showing me things. And he did that for 11 hours straight. And at the end of that 11 hours, I kicked him out of my house. Not because I was upset with him, but because I was upset. I spent the next 6 days sitting on my bed, except for bodily functions and eating and sleeping, sitting on my bed with my laptop doing some research. I went from the biggest military contractor with pride, like you wouldn't believe it. Oh, my God, we can kill anything anytime we want anywhere. I went from that to my entire world has freaking imploded and I need to explain something to you. That was the birth of the Liberty Beacon Project, but it was also my realization that the programmed ignorance is not just in the average citizen on the street. It flows all the way up through the military-industrial complex and, until you get to the very high levels, the military itself.
The world has never been the same, Roger. And I had the same experience, and I sat down one night and watched Architecture Truth 9/11, and my whole world changed. I'm going to let Doug, we only got about 8 minutes left here, about actually 6 minutes. So, Doug, I'm going to let you make a few comments, and then Roger, I'll let you make a few comments, and I'll have to shut it out, guys. But I wish we had another hour to go right now, because there's a bunch of stuff that I never got to even talk about. Well, Doug, thanks for coming in today, bud.
I appreciate you having me once again. Thank you. Man, oh man, Roger, I just love you, dude. You are just so full of such pertinent information. People, I hope you were taking notes in the audience today. I got to say it again. Okay, so Donald Trump is your president today. Wake up, everybody. He's going to be your president on November the 5th. Support what he's doing. Get off your butts and get out there and stop believing in this lockdown. We here in Canada, I was up in Ottawa yesterday. We had 20,000 people up on the hill. We were out there. It was a rally. The government denied our permit to be there that morning. I talked to one of the officers up there, one of the guys in charge, and I said, so we're up here without a permit. He says, yeah, we don't care. I thought, holy moly, thank you. Yeah. So people are waking up all over the world. They had, 300,000 at Trafalgar Square with another million on the streets. The Germans shut down a 3-million-man march that was happening yesterday. Zurich had something like 800,000 show up. We are waking up, and they don't like it. We need to get off the couch. We need to get out there. By the way, if you're out in the sunshine, lots of good vitamin D. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we did not lose our human immune system on March the 1st, 2020. That's a lie. Bill Gates is a eugenicist, and Roger Landry is a truther.
Well, I got to tell you something. You are one of those individuals who people more than likely listen to for two reasons. One, you have a very soothing, calming voice, even when you're telling them they're ripping the whole freaking world out from under you. And two, what you say needs to be heard. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Roger, the last thought? Okay. How about a 1 minute thought? Restrict it to 1 minute.
If you people out there need to understand or take anything away from this, it is this. It is not hopeless. If it was hopeless, we'd all be gone. And I just got done telling everybody that. Technology is a two-edged sword, all right? From the internet all the way up to 5G. It's going to happen if we let it happen. That's all that needs to be said. If we let it happen, stop complaining. If we know it's bad, then it is incumbent upon us to step up and stop it. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. If you want your children to be able to live a normal life, if you want your grandchildren to have any type of a life at all, and you're sitting on your couch listening to great shows like this and doing absolutely nothing, remember when everything goes away and the lights are about to go out, you were part of the reason that happened.
Well said, Roger. And I'm going to reiterate what Doug said, Roger. You've been my friend now for 5 or 6 years, I believe, and it is an absolute honor and pleasure to call you my friend. I love having you in, and you're just a wealth of information. And I thought today, boy, what a good combination. Put these two two gentlemen together, and it should make for a very interesting conversation. And it has, and I wish we had another hour. Boy, I tell you, folks, please pay attention with Roger. Said today, I know it was a lot to comprehend. A lot of this stuff you probably never really looked into it or understood what's really going on in our world. But I think it's essential right now that I'll reiterate on that. It's your duty right now. It's not essential. It's your duty. Like Roger said, if you love your children, you love the perceived freedoms we do still have, then you've got to get involved or we're going to lose it all. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me, and I will be calling you again very shortly.
Thanks for having me, Barry. Appreciate it once again. And once again, Roger, thank you. Oh, I just love you, man.
You guys are all great.
And you'll be hearing from me soon, Roger. Guaranteed. Okay, I'm going to let you guys go. I got Vinny Eastwood coming up in the next hour, and he's going to really lay out what's going on in New Zealand, guys. He's going to fill your ears, so I'm looking forward to that.
And Australia, too. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he's gonna hit on it all today, guys, so hang around. This is going to be a pretty explosive hour coming up. I'm going to take a bathroom break. I got to let my gentlemen friends go here, and I'll be back in about 3 minutes or so with Mr. Vinny Eastwood.
You're listening to www.internetradio.com Seeking solutions.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Roger Landry and Doug Forrest. Great conversation. I am joined second hour here by Vinny Eastwood, and I was going through my archives today, and it's been just over a year since I've had you on the radio. Since then, Vinny, you have got to experience one of the greatest things in life, and that's the arrival of your little baby princess there. So congratulations, and welcome to the best part of life, my friend.
Well, and, thank you very much.
Pleasure to have you back on, Vinny, and look forward to hearing some stuff about what's going on in New Zealand.
Well, you know, I had a realization the other day that I just love the sound of my own voice, so this is going to be good. With the thing about being a new dad is you kind of now have all this extra responsibility and less time to spend on the time on the things that you do irresponsibly. So I was playing way too many video games. So I was like, man, I'm going to be a father soon. How am I ever going to find enough time to be a father and play video games? So I was like, what if I just deleted every single game off my computer and just stopped playing them altogether? Hey, presto, I found enough time to be a father. And I was just like, man, if I only just stopped being a man-child, wasting my time through the entirety of my life, I might actually have the chance to parent my own offspring and mature as a person. Imagine if more people did something like this, you know?
Well, Vinny, you know, becoming a parent in my life changed my life, and it changed my perspective on a lot of things. And it, to me, it is the greatest experience that we can go through, and it does change people because it really makes you understand what we're fighting for right now. I know you look at your little girl every day, and you say to yourself, you see this chaos coming in our world right now. It is just really getting out of hand, and you look at the future for her, and I know that's the reason you get on the mic every day and fight for her, buddy, so... We're all in this for the same reason right now. And I love my children to death. And I see all the stuff that's going on against our children right now in this world, Vinny. And it drives me insane, my friend. It really does.
I think that to a large degree, we're talking about an assault on our sanity, you know, an assault on our peace of mind. And, you know, when my daughter Alina was born, she was born at 9:11 p.m., Barry. All right, and she was born dead. All right, like the cesarean. She came out. She wasn't moving. She was dead, and then they resuscitated her, and that was on Easter Sunday. She was born dead and resuscitated on Easter Sunday at 9:11. Right, amen. And then she was put in a incubator and kept at 33.3 degrees. Right, so. Mm. For anybody who's into their numerology or conspiracy theories, for that matter, in any way, shape, or form, you know, that's kind of like a whoa type moment. You know, like this baby's probably special, and she is very special. She's got very, very, very cute everything. You know, this is my baby, and she snores very sweetly, and she is like all wriggly. All cute. She has a big voice that you can hear from miles away. And well, I don't know, because I was talking on the show the other day. I showed pictures of the baby, and I think it was with Stefan Verstappen, and he says, "Well, it's a beautiful baby, Vinny. She kind of got that from you." And then the very next day, I had on Billy Takahika. And he shows some photo of the baby and goes, "A beautiful baby, Vinny. I kind of got that from you. Must be from the mum."
Well, I look at your baby's face and I can see your face there, Vinny. So I think you're okay. But you know what? I think in life, honestly, Vinny, we won't talk about kids too much more because I really want to talk about what's going down in your neck of the woods right now. But I think in life, we really don't experience true love until we have children. True, unselfish, unabiding. Kill, die, protect, love. And you feel that when you have a child. So welcome to that world, my friend. But I do want to hear about what's going on down in New Zealand, and you're pretty close to Australia, so I think you probably got your finger on the pulse of what's going on down there. I really like to talk about that today, my friend, if you would.
Okay. Well, the thing about my baby being born in lockdown is that I wasn't able to see her, basically, after she got out of the special care baby unit and was with my wife in the maternity unit. I wasn't able to come in and see my baby, right? And I think what's happening now is we're essentially creating a new era of traumatized and abandoned and lonely children with all of these lockdowns and stuff like that. It's limiting social interaction and what have you. So we went into lockdown in March. And the Christchurch Mosque massacre shooter pleaded guilty on day one of that lockdown when all the media was locked down too and couldn't come to the court case. Yeah. And so, you know, case closed, up, life sentence, up, you know. This guy will never be able to talk to anybody again for the rest of his own life at the cost of $40,000 for solitary confinement per month from the taxpayer. Thank you very much. No investigation necessary, even the secret investigation that we tried to put up, you know.
Mm.
So how this ties in is people are currently locked down again. I call it lockdown 2, Judgment Day. And this lockdown came within maybe 12 hours notice or something like that. People got like a reminders on their phone. My one went off with a scary kind of sort of sound at like 6:55 in the morning. Now, conveniently, I'm an early riser, so it didn't wake me up. But it did traumatize me getting that thing, lockdown. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is a dog whistle. I haven't gotten this one before. And subsequent to this, it's a lockdown during an election. So standard electioneering, going out, door knocking, et cetera, ain't going to be happening. A lot of the problems that we're associating with New Zealand are in fact being addressed by a party called the New Zealand Public Party. And they have pretty much cauterized the wound, if I might be so bold, by coming out against Agenda 21, by coming out against the United Nations and communism infiltrating our communism infiltrating our political system to a large degree. And this is the first party that's actually done this, to my knowledge, called out Agenda 21 and called out the fact that China's Communist Party has infiltrated both major sides of the House. Now, is there a possibility that they locked the country down because they wanted to stop the advanced New Zealand Public Party from getting out there or something like that? And I don't know necessarily if that is true. However, if that was the case, then it's completely backfired on them, because the amount of people who have seen the Advanced New Zealand and New Zealand Public Party since the lockdowns has been massive. And because we're the party that's mostly questioning the lockdowns and saying that, look, the vaccines aren't safe, the virus is not that dangerous, you can't infect people if you don't have symptoms, the masks don't work to protect you, the lockdowns don't make any difference whatsoever in the amount of people that die from communicable infections, you know, year by year. They're around about the same. And this entire gamut is kind of like why it's sort of important for me to be helping these guys out in every way that I can. And I have a sponsor now, Lickster.co.nz. They're trying to like set up a alternative free sort of like online training thing, kind of like eBay or Trade Me for the New Zealand folks. Okay. And sort of like a free online truther marketplace. I was sort of thinking about that this morning, how people can actually get together in an online marketplace, sell their stuff and what have you. And I think a lot of people are actually starting to question what's going on because of the huge amounts of lies and copious media coverage that the government is getting, or rather granting themselves as a result of all of this. Because, you know, as I say, in the middle of an election, he who controls the crisis is king. I mean, imagine if you just locked down Canada and you said, okay, everybody, none of you are allowed to electioneer campaign. We're not just going to stop the election or anything like that. We're just going to delay it a little bit while in lockdown so that we get 100% of the media coverage because we're the ones who are enforcing the lockdown and telling you all to be safe and wash your hands and whatnot. You see? So it's a scary situation. Yeah.
So we're not far away from that right now. And Billy TK and Jamie Lee Ross, I've listened to both those gentlemen talk, and they truly are a grassroots movement. What do you think the chances of this party actually gaining a foothold in government during this election? What do you think the chances of that happening? Because I see a lot of attention going to that party right now, Vance, New Zealand.
All right. Well, if I had to be conservative, their chances of getting into Parliament is guaranteed. All right. Guaranteed. They're at least getting into Parliament. Whether or not they're going to get over the 5% threshold, that's guaranteed because that's the minimum you need under New Zealand's parliamentary system. Your party has to get 5% of the vote before you get in and get some members of Parliament on your team. I want, and this is a big dreamy hope, and we may not achieve this, is 51%, because then, you know, just boom, it's over with. No negotiating. You can do, I mean, that's ideal, but the reality is I'm looking at between 5 and 15% conservatively. Which is going to be a major thing. And in New Zealand, we have currently three parties that have joined together to make a government. The Green Party, whose environment policy is Agenda 21. The New Zealand First Party, whose environment policy is Agenda 21. Mm-hmm. And the Labour Party, whose environmental policy is Agenda 21. Mm-hmm. And opposing them on the other side of the house, we have the National Party, whose environmental policy is Agenda 21. And the ACT Party, whose environmental policy is Agenda 21. And then there's over here, we've got Billy TK and the Advanced New Zealand Public Party, who are polling above all of them in terms of social media reach on Facebook alone, right? And we're not talking about above them by a tiny little margin. We're talking about a significant margin. That margin grows every single day. Every day that people are locked down, every day that people are being lied to by their government, every day that their conscience starts to tell them something is wrong with this situation, they go looking for answers and they find Advanced New Zealand.
All I can say right now, Vinny, is this has got to happen. I hope that New Zealand, like the rest of the world, are waking up in droves, because we're seeing the rest of the world wake up now in droves, Vinny. The demonstrations we saw, man, Vinny, in yesterday in Canada. You know, Canadians are the most apathetic people in the world. We really are. It seems like Canadians don't have any guts at all. But we had 20,000 people show up on Parliament Hill yesterday in droves, demanding the government listen to them. We've never seen that in Canadian history. But, you know, the CBC, our communist state broadcaster, came on last night and said there was a couple hundred or a very small crowd is what they described. They didn't show pictures. And this is going on. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, come on, can't people see what's going on, Vinny? This scamdemic is the biggest scam ever played on the human race. And the numbers are coming out now. And if people aren't paying attention, Vinny, it just baffles me, because in Canada here, the numbers are right there. They're in your face. This thing has killed no more people than a bad seasonal flu. If you look at the numbers from 2018, the people that died from the flu in Canada, up to this particular date, the numbers are identical. All that's happened in this situation is we've had the mainstream media fan the flames on this. We have the World Health Organization being dictated to by Communist Chinese Party as the mandates of how we're going to deal with this. We've shut down our society. In British Columbia, you know, Vinny, in British Columbia, we have shut down 22,000 now. Small businesses are now shut down in British Columbia that aren't going to open again. But Walmart, they did great. Canadian Tire, they did great. Save On Foods made billions. Amazon, holy smokes, did they make money. People really got to wake up to this, Vinny, because we're getting close to a tipping point. And I see people waking up, and I absolutely, if I was down in New Zealand, I'd be campaigning for this party, because they're the only ones that are speaking the truth right now. I've looked at the poll numbers down there, and it's impressive, and I wanted to hear that from you today. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they're not the only ones who are telling the truth per se. I mean, there are other parties who talk about elements of truth. But I talked about this 360-degree wheel. So, for example, on 1 degree of the wheel, there might be fluoride. On 1 degree, there might be vaccines. On 1 degree, there might be police corruption. On 1 degree, there might be government corruption. On 1 degree, there might be geoengineering. On 1 degree, there might be electromagnetic frequency wireless radiation, and so on and so forth. And the point that I'm getting at here is that not everybody is aware of all of the same issues, right? And that there are many, many, many issues to be aware of. That's what I call the 360-degree wheel of awareness. And as far as I'm concerned, the Advanced New Zealand Public Party is the only one who actually seems to see the entire wheel. And that's why they're rolling forward so quickly, I think.
Absolutely, you know, all these pieces that fit in the wheel, they might not look like they're much to people, but they all fit together. We're being attacked on every level of what it means to be a human being. As far as I'm concerned, Vinny, there's nothing that the governments are doing right now that are beneficial in any shape or form to the future of humanity. And we could talk about multiple. We could talk about the vaccine regimens. We could talk about what they're spraying in our skies. We could talk about the amount of aluminum that's in our atmosphere and in our soil. I mean, we're being poisoned left, right, and center. And then they're taking our children and telling them at ages of the World Health Organization. I don't know if you looked at this, Vinny, but their new mandate for sex education for children is they want to teach children at the age. I don't even like to talk about this, but, you know, they want to introduce children to masturbation and anal sex at 4 to 6 years of age. Well, you know, this is lunacy, Vinny. Absolute lunacy. I can't even believe that people would listen to this kind of doctrine, but that's what's coming forward. And then we look at what's going on in our schools with the gender confusion. I mean, children, I mean, in Canada here, in British Columbia, we had a court case where a gentleman's daughter wanted to become a man, and he wanted to stop it. And at 14 years old, he completely had all his rights taken away. And almost put into jail for wanting to stop his daughter from changing her sex at 14 years of age. They don't talk about what this does to children down the road. They don't talk about the suicide rates or any of the other stuff that's involved with this. But this is being glamorized in our society. And to me, it's an all-out attack on the family unit. The family unit is what is our strength in society. It's what is the backbone of our society. And that really is under attack in multiple forms. Go ahead, Vinny.
I think, our everything's under attack, and the whole gender confusion thing. I mean, basically, you're talking about 0.0013% of the population, or some marginal fractionalistic template like that. You're going to change the entirety of how society works based upon that percentage of a population are a little bit different. Therefore, we've all got to change our lives to accommodate them. I don't think so. Okay, when a white guy moves to Africa, he doesn't just sit in downtown Nairobi just saying, hey, why aren't you guys all doing things like they do in England or something of that nature? No, because he knows he's not in charge. He's not the majority. And that way, all you do is exist within that system. Okay? And if you have, like, for example, advocates and what have you for you, like, fine, you know. Is there like some kind of like transgender rights thing? Like people are saying, no, you can't do this if you're transgender, you can't do that. I'm not so sure that there's been so much of a heavy prosecution of this within the public because of the fact that there aren't any of them. Okay. You know, and it comes to a case-by-case basis. Is this person a creepy, stalky pedophile who happens to identify as a man or whatever? Or is this person just an ordinary person who just thinks that there's something that they're not? Right. And what difference does that really make? I mean, I walk around thinking I'm something I'm not. I'm great. I'm fantastic. I'm wonderful. Whatever. But I don't harm nobody. And so as far as I'm concerned, whoever does whatever, if they don't harm nobody, fine. All right. But teaching children about anal sex at four years of age. Yeah, that's a satanic pedophile agenda. All right, grooming your kids to be the next rape mate. All right. The wheel's got to keep turning, ladies and gentlemen. Why do you think hundreds of thousands, millions of children and women go disappeared every year? All right. Human trafficking is big business. It's like $6 billion a year. Those children don't just spring out of holes in the ground. They come from your families, all right? These are kids who go to school and then get offered $100 or something like that and get taken for a ride and never come back. All right. If you're not raising your children properly, they become easy prey, more or less. So are we talking about an entire world where the existence of children is basically to sexually abuse them so that they can grow up to become traumatized, controllable adults? I'm just taking a stab in the dark. I don't really know.
That's a very, very, very deep question, Vinny. But if you look at what's going on in our world, you know, we're at an age now where technology, we have the ability to communicate around the planet. And a lot of this stuff seems to be coming forward now. Has it been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years? I say yes. I say to the level of it's happening right now, no. I absolutely believe that our world is being run by psychopathic demons. I have to call them demons from hell, and they're pedophiles. And boy, I'll tell you, some of this information that's going to come forward, I think, in the next little while is really going to shock people. I think that information is just around the corner. And the names that are going to be named and the implications and the ripples through our society, boy, that could be a deep subject in itself. You know, the disruption in our society caused by the arrest of massive amounts of high-ranking individuals. But I believe that day is coming. I hope it's coming. Because we've got to get these people out of power.
Well, yeah, because at the moment, I'm not going to make that joke, actually. Thoughts here about the situation are maybe like 3, 4, 5-fold or something of that nature, because we're looking at a system that was possibly – you know the old expression, the fox guarding the hen house? Mm-hmm. Imagine if the fox was a priest. Imagine if the fox was a lawyer. Imagine if the fox was a doctor. Imagine the fox was a business person. Imagine the fox was a media personality. Imagine the fox was your politician. And what they all did is they got together and they decided, hey, let's build a chicken farm, bro. You know, we'll raise the chickens up to think that laying eggs for us is the best thing that they could possibly do, that giving their lives for us is the best thing that they can possibly do. We'll indoctrinate their children. We'll give them all sorts of things to entertain themselves and swing on while they're trapped here, so that they don't even know that we built this place. They don't even know that they're walking meal tickets for us. They won't even know. And because they don't even know that we, the foxes, built this chicken farm, they won't try to escape. They won't try to jump over the fences. They won't try to pick us when we feed them. They'll come when we call them. They'll do what we tell them.
That was well said, Vinny. You couldn't be more truthful in what you just said, because, you know, the old saying, you can stick a frog in a pot of water and you can turn the heat on, and the water starts getting warmer and warmer and warmer, and the frog will just sit there, and eventually the water will boil, and that frog will die. But if you took that frog and dumped him into a pot of boiling water, boy, would he jump out of there fast. And that's a true example of what we see in society. We didn't get to where we are overnight. What's gone on in society, I believe, was discussed 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago in little rooms with psychopaths that laid down the future for the human race and got us to where we are today. At one point, the family unit was the strongest thing in our society. Our North America was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and it gave our society a strong moral background. And what we see now in the world is what was good when I was a child is now bad, and what bad when I was a child is now being glorified. We've seen a real flip in, as far as our moral standing goes in society. What do you think about that?
Well, Friedrich Bastiat once said that when a group of men living together in society for which plunder is their lifestyle, they will create in that society over the course of time a group of laws that authorize it and a moral code that glorifies it. And we are stuck in the middle of that system right now. A system built by satanic pedophiles for satanic pedophiles, and isn't it gravy, right? So you can lie to people, you can cheat people, you can kidnap their children, you can murder them, you can torture them, you can experiment on them, you can do anything. They're slaves, right? Imagine how much you could get accomplished with 7 billion slaves. And, you know, the obvious thing that comes to mind here is, why would somebody want to do this? Why would somebody want to do that? Well, it's a question, you know. Why do serial killers kill people? Why do scorpions sting frogs? You know, it's in their nature. And this nature has existed since forever. All right. I had a thought this morning. What if, and this is just, you know, just a thought. This is not what I believe per se. I was just thinking about this. One of the reason there are sharks in the ocean is to prevent sick fish and weak fish from polluting the gene pool, from holding everybody back, you know? What if the reason that there are lions in the savannah is because there are a lot of sick zebras? There's a lot of stupid zebras, and they need to be taken out in some form or otherwise, the herd itself is going to be diminished, slowed down, and eventually destroyed by its entropy. What if psychopaths, sociopaths, control freaks, pedophiles, assaulters, abusers, all of these creatures that exist in our society, what if they're there for a reason? To make us stand up for ourselves or be dinner, right? Because if there was no threat, there would be no such thing as courage, all right? If there wasn't any danger, there would be no such thing as heroes. If there was no villain, there would be no champion of the people to oppose them. What if these creatures are performing a necessary part of the human psychological food chain, whereby we will be inflicted with huge amounts of pain, suffering, and discordance, missing children and so on and so forth. And as a result of that pain, of that trauma, it will force people to do something about it and become better than they truly are and become stronger so that they can go out and hunt the lion. They can catch the shark. What if that's the case? It's just a thought.
Well, that was quite a thought, Vinny. You know, I think right now we're at a point, and I see a mass awakening around this planet. I see people really starting to pay attention to what's going on. But in the same mouthful, I go downtown Terrace, and I see people mowing their lawns wearing a mask. I see people out driving around their vehicles wearing a mask. And it's not the people that are waking up right now that scare me. It's these people that are just going to go along with the agenda when they tell us that you're going to have a mandatory vaccine. These will be the first people in line rolling up their sleeves. Those are the people that scare me, Vinny, and they seem to be in a zone. And I talk to people, Vinny, I talk to people all the time, and I put out hardcore facts about exactly what's going on with this pandemic. And it doesn't matter what kind of facts you give to them. They still go home at night, watch CBC, drink that Kool-Aid, and go to bed. It seems like sometimes I'm talking to a wall, but then in the same mouthful, I see a lot of people now starting to wake up. I don't know if you're experiencing the same thing down in New Zealand. I think we're seeing that around the world right now, my friend. And one question I wanted to put to you here, what's going on with 5G in New Zealand right now, Vinny? Are they rolling it out at light speed?
Yeah, well, I can only assume, you know, everybody's locked inside, so they can't be 5G protests anymore, you see?
And they don't see what's going on, for sure.
Yeah, you don't see what's going on. You can't protest what's going on if you do. I mean, but that being said, we had a Auckland protest against the lockdown, which I helped to live stream just on Saturday. And so there were, I don't know, it looked like 1,000 people or something like that. 1,000 people breaching lockdown in Auckland, New Zealand to come out and protest that kind of thing. It was, I mean, I might be overestimating it. I might be underestimating it or something like that. But it seemed like a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lot of faith that New Zealanders will overthrow the yoke of the New World Order. I have faith that the New Zealand Public Party and Advance New Zealand are going to get into Parliament, that the game is changing, that this is something that we haven't ever seen before. This isn't hopey, changey sort of Barack Obama promises that he goes back on. This is real resistance. This is tempered and experienced people with a lot of skills and a lot of power and ability, all combining forces to try and save this country. When the United States shook off the yoke of their oppressors, allegedly, there was only about 15% of the population who were actively supporting the resistance. That's not much. And there were only about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 5% of the population, maybe even less, who actually did anything directly, you know, like went out there and fought on the battlefields or delivered supplies or something like that. The rest of the support of the population was merely tantamount. Yeah, guys, keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. I mean, yesterday I had I was trying to, you know, relax or whatever, but of course I can't relax in this kind of political climate. So I was editing a whole bunch of videos and uploading them to the Facebook party page and what have you. And then got a call on the landline while I was just taking a break. And this guy goes, I'm like, no, it's just not a good time. And he's like, oh, well, I'm just outside your house and I want to give you a donation. And I was like, all right then, you know. So the support that's been given to me because of my support for the Advance New Zealand Public Party has been extraordinary. Okay, I've been doing this for near on 12 years now, and I'm sorry, Barry, I'm going to have to skip out on you in about 10-15 minutes to go to my next show. And it's just completely overwhelming the amount of donations that are coming in, the amount of messages and support, the shares and likes on the videos and everything. And when you look at the party page for Advance New Zealand, they've got what would you say? Organic shares, bro. This was something that I thought was very interesting. Is you know, I've done Facebook advertising before for another political party and done all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, I've never seen this kind of organic reach. Right? It means that there's actually a individual with an account that's been active for like 10 years or something like that, sharing out all these Facebook lives and all these articles and all these things and whatnot, completely organic. And then you have a look at, say, for example, the National Party, who spent $35,000 on Facebook advertising just in recent months. And they have around about half of the social media impact that the Advance New Zealand Public Party is having on Facebook. And we've eclipsed by an extra third the Labour Party. But this was 2 days ago. Okay, just think about this. It was like 78 days ago that the Advance New Zealand Public Party even came into existence, right? It was only about a month and a half ago that the official alliance with the Advance New Zealand Party actually happened. Things are happening so quickly that it is beyond belief. And a lot of people are going, well, who's funding them? Who's funding them? And it's just like, the people! The people! My goodness, man. I've been getting so much support from Billy's supporters and stuff like that. It's driving me crazy. It's just like, my God, where is all this coming from? And it's ordinary people, small business owners, people who are stuck on benefits or are at home, people who are in lockdown, people who have been called conspiracy theorists for the last 10 years of their life, and suddenly, finally, there's somebody out there telling the truth the whole truth and nothing but the truth so that you can stand behind them and wave your banner proudly that, no, you're not crazy.
Wow. Hey, you're sending shivers down my back, Vinny. What an inspiring situation you're involved in right now, my friend. And I hope it ripples through to Canada here. And we are starting to see that now. But you guys are a little bit ahead of us. And all I can say, what is the party's membership now, Vinny? Do you know? How many people are actually signed into the party?
Well, that's not my area of expertise, okay, no, but last I heard, it was the largest party in the country, excluding the two most major parties that have been around for well over 100 years or something.
And when is your election coming up?
In a little over a month. I think it's like a month and a half away.
Well, and this party is growing at light speed, so we could see something very special happen.
Well, I want to say something just before we go, if I do have to go, that is. The expats, all right, there are 5 million New Zealanders in New Zealand, and there are a million plus New Zealanders worldwide. We need expats to go to the websites of the government, votenow.govt.nz, and enroll to vote. Start thinking about coming home. Start thinking about donating to the party. Start thinking about what it would be like to be in a country that was free. Would you want to come home out there? And the thing is, I can't reach all of the Kiwis that are out there because after doing my show on American Freedom Radio for so many years, the amount of New Zealanders that were living in the United States listening to American Freedom Radio who contacted me, who'd had no idea that there was such a resistance going on or such a talk radio host as Vinnie Eastwood, and that's all due to everybody on the international airwaves sharing this stuff, getting the word out. And this election will affect you too, Barry. It'll affect everybody on this planet. The outcome of this world rests upon New Zealand's shoulders. If we throw off the New World Order, throw it out.
The ripples.
The ripple effect, the domino effect.
Wow.
New Zealand, Australia, Canada, England, the United States, all of them in complete total support and peaceful, mindful, fact-based, standing on solid ground, resistance movements. That's what Billy TK has brought to Advance New Zealand Public Party, is just his calm and his strength. We don't have to go crazy. We don't have to go psycho. We don't have to hurt nobody. All we've got to do is just stand right in their face and tell them the truth in a calm, factual manner. And that is what is attracting people to the party. That is what is going to get rid of these psychopaths in power, because they can't hold their cool. They can't help but insult you. They can't help but play dirty politics. We're not playing that. We've played dirty politics in this country since the term was invented, and it ain't gotten anybody anywhere good.
Well, Vinny, all I can say is if I can help you in any way get the word out in the next month prior to this election, I'd be more than happy to do so. If you'd like to come back in a couple, 3 weeks and just have a few minutes to talk about what's going on down there, I would invite you back. It's been a real pleasure having you on today, my friend, and I look forward to chatting with you again. I know you have to leave, but it has been a pleasure talking to you and bringing forward to information that people really need to hear at this point, Vinny. We are in a fight that we can't lose.
I still have about another 10 minutes, if that's
okay. Okay, I thought you had to leave there, buddy.
Well, I do eventually. Don't leave.
I'm not chasing you out of here. Don't leave me. I thought you were trying to say, oh, I got to get out of here, but no, that's good. And so, Vinny, what's going on in Australia? I've been getting all kinds of information over here. Maybe you can clarify it. About Chinese troops arriving in Australia. Now, is there any truth to that? Because I know you're a little closer than I am. Have you heard of?
Simple answer, I don't know. Okay. However, we've had multiple reports of that happening. When you have multiple reports, there's a reason to look into it because there's usually not nothing to it. Right. But we've also had reports in New Zealand of large quantities of Chinese people, including one who had 180 kilos of baggage, allegedly, being flown into Auckland and coming out to the hotels and things of that nature. So there is a lot of suspicion, and I think it could potentially be very well-founded suspicion that mm-hmm. the communist Chinese are not only behind these lockdowns and the UN and all of this other kind of thing, but that they are currently infiltrating the West with their troops, with their PR teams and things of that nature to ensure that this economic depression that's been caused by these lockdowns continues while they continue to be the prime beneficiaries after their complete and total infiltration of the West. Right. Now, is that a possibility? I guarantee you it's a possibility. Is it a certainty? No, I don't. I definitely cannot call it a certainty at this present moment. And let's remember that if we stay factual, okay, it will basically eliminate confusion. Okay, what do we actually know? Right? We actually know that Agenda 21 is real, that New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern visited Goalkeepers, which was funded by Bill and Melinda Gates, saying how she has been implementing Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 policies the whole time, right? That's an admission that New Zealand is controlled by foreign powers' plans for this world, right? That is what her job is, to transform this country into part of the world. All right. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean part of the global system, the global oppressive degeneracy, the global oppressive dictatorship, or God. The Chinese are creating a God computer. All right. Dig this. What's the aspects of God? They're everywhere. They know everything and they can do anything. All right. What's the aspect of a technologically advanced global police state? They're everywhere. They know everything about you and they can do anything to you because you ain't got no rights. They're creating a God system. That's what the 5G is about, folks. People talk about the cancer problems of the 5G. And sure, I mean, even cell phone cancer has been classified by the WHO itself as possibly a Class B carcinogen. However, the 5G, when they're testing all of this kind of stuff, they've got like maybe one cell phone next to one person's head. They don't have 50,000 cell phones surrounding people in an apartment complex in New York City, do they? How much signals are there truly out there, and how much reliable testing has there actually been for this? But here's the key here. Social credit, all right? What that means is you're going to have an app on your phone. You could be walking, you could be jaywalking across the street or something like that. Beep, 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 little thing on your phone. Hey, you've just been fined $15 and you've been banned from using trains for 2 weeks. And you're like, whoa, how did that happen? And you're like, well, you can't argue. It's the AI. The AI does it to you. All right. Well, what if I start saying bad stuff about the government? Well, then you get put on a list and you're like, what do you mean? What does the list do? Well, the list basically, it looks at all your friends' phone numbers and things of that nature, and your phone will be identified to you. And if you call anybody, their phone will ring differently, telling you them that it's a person on the blacklist that is calling them. And if they answer the phone, they're going to go on the blacklist too. Okay? And if you, and because you pay for everything on your phone with all the apps and things of that nature, if you're really, really naughty, they'll just cut off your access to your accounts and then you can't do anything, including buy food. What makes you think there's going to be another free election, New Zealand, with systems like that coming into place, and Huawei Communications, who are connected with the People's Liberation Army Intelligence, that's Chinese CIA, have built the backbone of our telecommunications network, are setting up the 5G. What makes you think there's going to be another free election, New Zealand, when the Prime Minister can just lock down the country within 12 hours and just say how long it goes. Oh, it's going to go for 3 days. Oh, no, no, no. On the third day, we're just going to say it's going to last for 2 weeks. And then in the 2 weeks, it only just goes down to level two and things of that nature. And they're restricting every single thing that you can do. What makes you think there's going to be another free election, ladies and gentlemen, when they can force you to put something on your body? You have to wear this, you know. I reckon everybody should be wearing a face mask that have a Star of David on it. Frankly, I am the Yoda. I am the Yoda. But if they, what makes you think there's going to be another free election when they're talking about forced vaccines? And if it ain't forced vaccines, it's coerced vaccines. Oh, you don't take a vaccine. Oh, you can't go to school. You don't take a vaccine. Oh, you can't get this job. You don't take a vaccine. Oh, you can't travel. That's forced vaccines, ladies and gentlemen. That's coercion. That is unlawful under the New Zealand Bill of Rights, which doesn't matter at all because the Bill of Rights can be completely suspended as soon as the Prime Minister locks down the country. What makes you think there's ever going to be another free election unless we beat them here and now together as one? If we join, we can win. And if we win, well, then we'll have something that none of us have ever had before, a country of our own.
Vinny, I couldn't agree with you more. That I honestly believe that we have a very small window right now to stop this. And if we don't stop it, it's going to get out of control. I honestly believe that. I believe we still have that opportunity right now. And I think people are starting to realize the urgency of the situation that we're in. And all we can do right now, my friend, is just put our foot right to the floor and try and share this information far and wide. Sit down at your dinner table and have these conversations with your families and your friends, folks, because we are at a very pinnacle time in human history. And I don't want to see the future that could come for us, Vinny. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. So I applaud what you're doing and your outreach and people that are listening. Please support Vinny in his efforts. He's well worth your support. Go ahead, Vinny.
I think the key here is agency. All right. And then that means basically the ability to act upon your own volition to accomplish things that you know to be right. That is what your agency means, ladies and gentlemen. And they're trying to rob you of that. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter how you're doing it. So long as you're not doing nothing. Every action has a consequence, including inaction. If you are inactive in any way, shape, or form, ladies and gentlemen, that's okay. I was inactive for a long time. I used to believe in government. I used to think that vaccines were great, that they had double-blind testing and were perfectly safe and that you could sue the manufacturer if you had side effects or something like that. But I found out that that wasn't the case, all right? And I was very, very depressed. As a result, well, not depressed first, I went through the grief process, like everybody does. First, I was in denial. Then I got angry about it. Then I started trying to bargain with it. And I was just like, oh, well, maybe if I can work and do money and stuff like that. And then when I realized I couldn't bargain with a system that doesn't bargain, that's when the depression hit me. And it was only once I employed my agency and went out there and started doing something, started helping people, started doing what my own basic skill sets of being a narcissistic attention-seeking douchebag have allowed me to do, like be a talk radio show host, no offense, Barry. So whatever you do, you make sure that it's you doing it, you being yourself, doing what you know to be right. And if you just keep doing it, the universe will come and reward you. It'll say, hey, Vinny, you've got $500 worth of bills to pay today. We know you don't have 500 bucks. So here's a guy in Germany who gives you 500 euros on that same morning. Wow. Vinny, I know you haven't had a pie this morning and that you're really craving one and that you just did a 2-hour show without any breakfast. And so knock, knock, knock on the door. Here's your mate Dan with a pie. That's what the universe does. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you are being who you were supposed to be, who you were meant to be, who you were born to be, what you were bred to be.
What we're supposed to be, period. And what's been taken away from us, Vinny. It really comes down to, you know, what's in your heart, folks. I mean, I look at what's going on in this world right now and I just see chaos wrapping up, and it's really getting out of control. I believe in the next couple of months, the human race is going to be tested like we've never tested before. In my life, Vinny, I have to have a spiritual foundation to fall back on, because if I didn't, my friend, I think I would truly go insane right now, seeing what's going on in this world. I know a lot of people are going to suffer, but I believe good times will come. I believe that evil will be defeated, and one day that good will rise. And I have to believe that, my friend.
Yeah, and I generally don't pray very much. In fact, I usually only pray when I've got it really good and haven't been challenged for a while. I go, God, please F up my life. You know, I've had it too good for too long, and I need to be taught some kind of a lesson to make me humble again. Next day, PayPal gets cancelled. That's 30% of my income. Oh, shouldn't have prayed for that one. And
well, Vinny, you know what?
But you do. You do.
Whatever works in a person's life, and it's working in my life, buddy, and I feel a connection. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the other thing about this is meditation, right? People talk about the power of meditation. Is not prayer a form of meditation? And if you take epigenetics into account, which is what Bruce Lipton discovered, that you can basically change your body's disposition, your mind's disposition, by intense focused thought, is that not what prayers are? We've got a study that was done or something like that of the nutritional value of food, and it was shown that after somebody had blessed the food, the nutrition was actually more readily able to be absorbed by the body, right? What if all of this stuff, what if when I tell myself, you're right here, you're right now, there isn't a threat coming to kill you in the next 60 seconds, you're right here in reality. What if that has a measurable scientific effect on my calm, on my state of mind? You see, this is what people have done since the beginning of time. Some people have created religions out of it so that they can tell people this is what's what. And some people have developed their own sense of spiritual connection, a connection to their own higher self. Does this feel right? Am I doing the right thing? Am I a narcissistic douchebag? You know, these core questions that you get to ask yourself if you're trying to achieve some kind of spiritual enlightenment, some kind of spiritual awareness outside of this three-dimensional universe. And this is where your inspiration comes in. So, you know, a lot of people understand dimensions, you know, one dimension's a dot, second dimension's a line, the third dimension is a box moving through time, you know. But the fifth dimension is there, time's fourth dimension. Fifth dimension is your consciousness. So, for example, if you're having a thought right now about what I'm telling you, that's a fifth-dimensional thought. You know, it doesn't actually exist in reality. If you write that thought down, you spend some time and you write that thought down, suddenly it's in the three-dimensional universe. That is what we are actually here to do, ladies and gentlemen, as creative, divine beings, to get what's in your head into reality by spending your time on it. And when you have accomplished something and you've produced a real physical item or digital whatever it is you've made, somebody else can see it or touch it or be affected by it in some way, shape, or form. They couldn't be affected by it if you still had it in your head. If it was this idea of this thing that you wanted to do ages ago but you never actually got around to, that doesn't help anyone. That doesn't inspire anyone. And it doesn't help you maintain your sanity. I'll tell you what helps people. I'll tell you what maintains your sanity. I'll tell you what accomplishes something by putting your ideas and making a bit of time aside so that you can will those ideas into reality. That's what inspires people. That's what inspires you to keep going. And that's what changes the fabric of the universe. Not sitting there doing nothing, dreaming about stuff that you wish would happen, but aren't willing to put any effort into.
Interesting thoughts, Vinny. Thanks for sharing that. You know, we're down to about 4 minutes here before the show's over. So I'm going to let you share with people where they can find you and how many shows you do a week and any other information you want to share with people before we have to close up the show.
Okay. 5 days a week, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. We're mostly broadcasting on YouTube these days. I want to rock this puppy till the wheel falls off. And on the homepage of thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and in the descriptions of my videos, You can donate through KiwiBank. There's even an international transfer code there if you're donating from overseas. PayPal, the Guerrilla Media is 77@gmail.com. GuerrillaMedia77@gmail.com for PayPal. The PayPal buttons are on the homepage. Or Patreon. And we've just gotten over $1,000 in monthly support from Patreon. So I really want some more people to support us there and get us to our next goal of $2,000 a month on Patreon. And we're doing 5 days a week, 1 hour a day minimum at this stage. And because of the support with Billy TK and Advanced New Zealand Party, I've been uploading a lot of their live streams and things of that nature to my channel and their backup channel that I'm adminning for them. So lots and lots and lots of content, ladies and gentlemen. And hopefully you've enjoyed the show today enough to go and subscribe to my channel. And please make a donation and an automatic payment. Start one up today, because I've been doing this for over a dozen years. I ain't going to stop until the wheels fall off.
Hey, well, Vinny, all I can say, buddy, is keep doing what you're doing. I applaud your courage and your tenacity. I know you're in this for all the right reasons, and I don't usually endorse people for his donations, but if you can, guys, get behind what Vinny's doing, because I feel he's really making an impact right now with the New Zealand people. The information, bringing these shows forward and exposing this party to the people, it is, like Vinny said, this could be a monumental movement around the world, starting in New Zealand. So let's really kind of pay attention. If you know anybody that lives in New Zealand, or if you know a New Zealander, like Vinny said, that's living off country, tell them to get behind this country. Tell them to do exactly what Vinny mentioned in the show. I got to thank you, Vinny, for coming in. It's been a pleasure talking to you, my friend.
Thanks, bro. I get that a lot. What?
Well, maybe one day you'll have me back in your show there, Vinny. Then I know I've really made the big time.
All right. One day. One can hope. All right. Thank you, Barry. Lovely day, brother.
Okay, thanks, Vinny.
Cheers, mate.
Okay. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. Great show. Really enjoyed my conversation with Roger Landry and Doug Forrest, and really enjoyed that conversation with Vinny. Hope you come back next week. I've got a couple of really great people coming in. Thanks for tuning in today, and God bless you all. Have a great week, and bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.